All right, everybody. Hey, real quick, before we get started today, real quick, I have an announcement. Today is a One Big Family Sunday, which means the kids will be with us for service, okay? But there is child care for ages 3 and under. So if you have a young person with you that's ages 3 and under and you want child care for them, just take them down into the kids' church and they'll check them in. Other than that, everybody above age 3 is with us for the service, and they'll participate with us today. So we'll get started in just a couple minutes.
To teach us, to heal us, of sin. But where he preached peace, he was met with hostility. Where he preached love, hatred burned against him. Where he preached forgiveness, his enemies cried out for execution. He was arrested, tortured, and sentenced to death as a criminal. With nails in his hands, Jesus bore the unfathomable weight of our sin and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. They assigned him a grave with the wicked and sealed his tomb with a stone. Darkness reigned over the land once more as hope seemed to vanish. But on the third day, his light pierced the shadows. His power shook the earth. The Son of God rose, declaring victory over death and throwing wide the gates of heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. His love still calls to us. His grace still covers us. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Christ.
Amen. That is some good news, and do we believe that it is true that the Son is, he set us free, that he is risen? Let's stand to our feet and worship him because he is worthy.
He's
Good morning, everybody. Well, happy Easter. I hope everybody's doing well today. You want to find your seat. We'll get on with things today. It is a one big family Sunday. So our kids are in with us for this service. And certainly we do that every year at Easter, but every fifth Sunday of the year, the kids are with us for the service. And now we know when we do that, It may be at times be a little noisy or a little messy because kids can be that way. But we think it's important as a church that our kids are with us for worship at times. And that we're always separating them for their own worship and their own lessons and things, but that they are with us in the adult service and participate with us. Because as families, you as parents at times have to set an example for your kids in worship and getting your Bible out during the message and taking notes and these kind of things. So it's important that we do this now and then. So, but by the way, if a child that's with you is just having a moment, you're welcome to take them back in the back or out in the hallway out there for a couple minutes if you need to. But we're glad our kids are with us today. So hopefully you had a moment to introduce your children to somebody this morning and get to know your family a little bit. We're going to take up tithe and offerings. So if you have something to give, there's envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around. One of the ushers will help you out. They also have prayer cards. And if you have a prayer need, we are a pray first church. We believe in the power of prayer, not because of prayer itself, but we believe in a powerful God, so therefore we pray. Amen? And so if you have a prayer need, wave your hand around and ask for a prayer card. You don't have to put your name on it, but I will pray over these personally. And then every Monday night at churchwide prayer, which is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, they take time to pray over the prayer needs that come in on these cards. So where's Lila at? Lila's going to come up and pray over our offering today. Everybody say hi, Lila. So if you'll notice on these One Big Family Sundays, I have young people help me with the service, with the offering, but also reading the scriptures later on. So Lila's going to pray over the offering. I don't know if you had something to say, too. Oh, a little bit. She's got something to say, and she's going to pray over the offering. So when she is done with her prayer, you can bring your offering up to the baskets that are up here on the platform.
Good morning. Happy Easter, guys. The Lord loves our giving, and the only thing that the Lord gave me to say today is Easter. Jesus died on the cross, Good Friday, we know. He gave us so much. He suffered for us and died. He gives us our unconditional love, and all he asks from us is our faithfulness and our devotion to him, okay? And out of our finances, he only asks for 10%, okay? And it helps us run things, and we just love him, and so we give it back to him as we can. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, God. I just thank you for all the people you brought into church, Father, the people who have come to give their time to you this morning, God. I thank you for all the people working this morning at church. God, bless them, Father. And I pray that this service would impact us, Father, that people would get saved and there would be more entries into your kingdom today, Father, that hell would lose another one today, this morning, Father. I just thank you for all the love you give us, Father. Thank you for dying on that cross for us so that we can be with you forever. I love you, Jesus, and just please bless this offering and this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lila. All right. Well, thank you, Lila. A couple quick announcements as you bring your offering up. Next steps, if you're interested and you've been coming to church here and you believe this is your home church, your family of faith, we want to introduce you more about our church with Next Steps. So the sign-up sheet at the back, if you sign up, they'll contact you this week about Next Steps and tell you when they're going to meet. It's scheduled for Wednesday, but I know some of you couldn't make it Wednesday, so we'll probably have it next Sunday, but we'll let you know. We'll contact you this week. And also, next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we have Youth Hangout for 15 to 12th grade. They have their own service, their own worship, their own message, everything happening for them next Sunday at 6 o'clock, again for 5th through 12th grade. That's right here, so make sure your young person is here for that. Where is Amanda at? Amanda. Okay, so if you got a child that's 10 and under, they do have little bags for you, so Amanda's going to grab those, wave your hand around real quick. They already did it? Well, never mind then. Guys were on your stuff. You didn't give me a bag. Oh. All right, so everybody listen. Y'all need to take a picture. This is your one time a year you see me in a suit coat. All right? I didn't wear a tie. Not happening. I only wear ties when I marry them and bury them. Other than that, there's no ties. One chance to get me in a suit coat. Hey, it's good to have you today. Happy Easter. And we're glad you're with us today. If you are new at this thing, and you want to, in the chairs in front of you or at least somewhere close to you, there is a Get Connected card. You can fill that out and give it to one of the ushers after church. And we won't bombard you with phone calls and stuff in the mail, but just a way to connect with you. We're glad you're with us. And if you're here today and you don't have a church home, well, we would love for you to consider coming back again next week and continue to be with us. And we hope you feel like home today, and we hope you feel greeted and welcome today. We're a Bible-believing church. We believe in Jesus. Amen. Yes. And so you can come here and be a part of what God is doing among us. All right, let's get our Bibles out. I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't, they will put the verses on the screen. If you have your Bible, Mark chapter 16, and we're going to be in verse number 1. See, the cross, Good Friday, the death of Jesus, was the love of God fully revealed. God in our place, as our substitution, died on a cross for our sins. But the completed work of the cross shows up on Sunday in the resurrection. Jesus is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, and I got two readers to help me today. Where is Uriah? And I think Landon's coming. Come on up, boys. Let's give them a hand as they're coming today. And they're going to read Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. I think they're going to split this up somehow, right? Mm-hmm. You can throw your Bible up there. Are you starting off?
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. But very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him," he said to you.
All right. Did you read the whole thing?
Yeah. He's reading number 8.
All right. Finish that out, Landon.
So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb of the trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
All right. Thank you, boys. Good job. So at the triumphal entry, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And there was all sorts of hopes about what might happen. Surrounded with anticipation, they felt that maybe Jesus was coming to maybe install himself as king, maybe to do some amazing things, that he had been doing signs and wonders and miracles. Maybe this was the time that Israel would rise up again as his own nation, overthrow Roman rule. They thought that things maybe were about to change. The question was, what was going to happen? They end up at Good Friday, and now Jesus is crucified. Those that had followed him, those who were with him, certainly found themselves in a place of shock, a place of mourning, a place of sorrow, disappointment, maybe even a loss of hope. Maybe some of the things they thought were to happen that obviously did not happen. Maybe there were some dreams that were shattered. But Good Friday and what happened there, the story does not stop there. As the boys just read, on the third day after the crucifixion, very early as the sun was rising in the morning, on the first day of the week, and that's the sign of new things, in the midst of mourning and loss and the loss of hope, bewilderment, confusion, this day gave a new light. As the women approached the tomb, they saw a wonder. There was an angelic messenger. Isn't God just like that, to do it that way? A message was given. They looked inside. Jesus is not there. See, a wonder arises. What could have happened?
could it be that Jesus actually has risen? And in these moments, they go from mourning and the loss of hope to, as the scripture said there, to trembling and bewilderment, maybe even with a touch of fear. See, in the power of God, a new wonder, new creation has burst into our world. See, what Jesus accomplished on the cross in regards to sin, certainly the cross was the victory of God, though it didn't seem so. The resurrection emphasized everything that was accomplished on the cross. You see, throughout his ministry, everything that Jesus taught, every miracle that he did, the signs and the wonders that followed him, all the things that he said were to come, everything was backed up by God when Jesus was raised from the dead. That morning of the resurrection is a new day for all of creation. It's a new day for humanity. And this is a big deal. Because without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no hope for our world. You see, the Gospels are told as stories. And that's for a reason. Because stories are able to be passed down, to be told to ones coming behind you, to be shared. Certainly, they brim with theology, but yet they are stories nonetheless. And in these stories of Jesus and not only his birth, but all the things that he did and leading up to the crucifixion, the resurrection isn't just some sort of a nice ending to the story. Well, that's neat. They killed him, but he got to come back to life. That's just nice. It's not just a nice ending to a story that you find in the Bible, but the resurrection is the power of God and it is the hope for all things. Amen. So what does this mean? I want to talk to you about a couple things about what this means. But help me out with that. Where's Noel? Noel, where are you at? Come on down, Noel. Everybody say hi, Noel. Noel's going to read from Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. I'll give you a chance. There you go. Okay. You want me to hold this for you?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Mm-hmm. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Mm-hmm. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Amen. Thank you, Noel. Notice it says there, put that verse back up, Nehemiah. Acts chapter, we not have them? We got them? No? No verse? Okay, well. Acts chapter 2. Go back there. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 2. I want to emphasize something that Noel just read. In verse 24, Acts 2:24. See, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death. Watch, because it was not possible. Everybody say, not possible. Not possible. It was not possible for him to be held by it. In other words, the grave could not hold Jesus. The grave could not hold Jesus. Tell your neighbor, the grave could not hold Jesus. Let him know. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read to you from verse 54. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. Now, this is talking about the future resurrection of which Jesus is our prototype. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. The grave could not hold Jesus. So in that death, where is your sting? See, the power of death is lost in the resurrection of Jesus. Nehemiah, go ahead and throw that first slide up for me, please. Let's read that again. See, in the resurrection of Jesus, the grave could not hold him. So death, where is your sting? The wage of sin is what? But in the resurrection, Jesus defeats the ultimate wage of sin, which is death. The resurrection, in fully overthrowing death, it fully reverses the effects of death. See, what Jesus does in his resurrection is he affirms the original goodness of creation. See, God created things and he said, and it's good, right? Then God makes man and he says it's very good. Now see, the body, the human body is not bad in itself, but it's sin that corrupts it. God made creation and it's good. Sin corrupts it. But what God is doing in Jesus, the work on the cross and in the resurrection, is to redo and reverse the works of sin in our world. In resurrection, what is dead is made alive. What is mortal will be made immortal. This is good, and it's right, and it's just, and it is the work of God. So death has lost its sting. Death has lost its victory. So the victory of the cross and the power of the resurrection accomplished this. What the resurrection of Jesus speaks to is that all things are being made new. You can take a look at the world around us. How many know our world looks like a mess? It doesn't just look like a mess. It is a mess. But yet God is making all things new. Do you believe that? God is he's not going to, and he is, but he's already started. And it started the moment that Jesus came out of that grave. New creation had his feet on this earth. He's making all things new. I've had recently, in the last 6 months, I've been to a couple of funerals. Was at one and officiated the other. Both of these gentlemen were people that I had worked with in ministry for nearly 30 years. It's not easy to lose somebody that you loved. See, death happens all around us. And there are certain moments that it touches us personally. But every day, every few seconds, somebody in this world is dying. You realize that is ultimately the wage of sin. But see, even in those moments of mourning, even in those moments of loss, even when we're touched by death in this world, that's not the end of the story. Because God is making all things new. And again, the resurrection of Jesus isn't just some nice end to the story of the gospel, but it is the power of God that shows up in how he is working in our world. God, in through Jesus, is making all things new. So Romans chapter 6, where's Nehemiah? Nehemiah's going to come help me read this. Everybody say, hi, Nehemiah. He's got a couple short passages for us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, and then he's going to jump to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11.
We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
Now stop real quick. You can turn to your next one. Yep. Notice what the resurrection affords us, that we may walk in the newness of what? Life. How many of y'all are alive and breathing right now? When does the newness of life start? Right now. All right, read the next one.
But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who is raised from the from, of him who is raised, Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He who is raised from Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Thank you. Yes. That was Romans chapter 8. So look, how many of you have given your life to Jesus? Let me see. The Holy Spirit dwells within you, does he not? And the Bible says that the Spirit that dwells within you is the power of God, and it will quicken your mortal body, ultimately ending up with resurrection. So there's two ways that the resurrection of Jesus impact us. First is this. It comes in new life in salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. In other words, you are resurrected inwardly, right here. All things are being made new right inside of you. New creation. That comes with the forgiveness of sins. That comes with removing shame and guilt and condemnation. In our salvation, today has meaning and so does our future. In other words, there is always hope. The Spirit dwells within us. We can live a new life right now.
Amen.
Amen. But here's the second way. We live in a world that the kingdom is now. The kingdom of God is active now. It's a now and not yet. And one of the ways it's not yet is the fact that new life will come in actual resurrection of our bodies at the return of Jesus. That is why the death of a person is not the end. Our bodies will be renewed. In the resurrection of Jesus, he is the prototype. He comes out of that grave with a new body. That is our future. So Jesus is our model in life and new creation as we are his disciples. But he is also our model in resurrection as it points to our physical resurrection when he comes again. So as Paul writes, then death, where is your victory has been lost. Jesus has conquered. Nehemiah, if you'll throw that second slide up, please. The risen Jesus is our new life. By the way, that comes to the fullest extent of your imagination. In other words, in all things that you can comprehend what new life can be, that's what Jesus is bringing you. Not only how you live, but your future, whatever you can imagine eternal life to be, that's where we're headed. Our new life in Jesus is taking us to what God has promised, an eternity with him. See, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is currently making and will make all things new. That same Spirit is within you. Do you realize that the point of salvation is not so you can escape from this world? You know that. I understand when a person dies, if they have given their life to God and have lived for him, that, yes, absent from the body, but present with the Lord. But that's not the end of the story. The goal of salvation is not to escape this corrupt world. The goal of salvation is his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the ultimate answer to that prayer is that he'll make all things new. Resurrected body, new heaven, new earth, rejoined again in God's original intention. That's what salvation is all about. See, Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
See, the stories after the resurrection lead into Jesus being ascended into heaven. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father in power and authority. That's what the right hand means. It's symbolic of power. With all things in submission to him. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to judge all things. But part of the justice of his judgment will be to make all things new. I say this to you a lot. I'm getting old. This old body don't do what this old young body used to do. At some point, if Jesus tarries long enough, I am going to die. I faced the reality of death 7 years ago when the doctor told me I had cancer. We prayed, we believed, we held on, and we made it through. Amen. Amen. But yet, I'm still going to die. All I did was hold it off, hopefully for a couple more decades. But do you realize that I'm aware of that more now than ever because I'm getting older? Our first grandbaby's coming next month. In a couple weeks, three weeks she's due around there. Yeah. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that puts your life in perspective when you start having grandbabies. How many know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden you're like, my goodness, life is moving. But in spite of knowing the season of my life, I have more hope than ever. Because I believe what the Bible says is going to happen. And I believe in the work of Jesus in the resurrection, that he will resurrect my physical body someday. And I will be part of all things being made new because I call him my Savior. Amen. In other words, there's always hope. There's never the loss of hope for those who believe on Jesus. One more passage, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Where's Miss Hadley at? Everybody say, hi, Hadley. How about that? Are you ready?
Say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved.
Amen. Thank you, Hadley. Those who believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, who call on his name, they will be saved. Now, when you look at the Bible, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here that we can talk about and discuss and maybe land on some different thoughts on some things. But there are also some essentials in the Bible that we can't come off of. One of the essentials of Scripture for our salvation is to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And you can't get around that one. You must believe that God has come. You must believe that God has died and shed his blood for you. And you must believe that he has been raised from the dead. In other words, you cannot remove the miraculous from your belief in salvation. Because if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, what hope is there for you? See, in this lies our faith. We believe in what we hope for. Here lies unending hope, an unending hope that leads to eternity. And this is true, and it will be true. So, question for you today. Do you believe on him? Do you believe in what he has done? That's not just a nice story with a good ending. It's not just something we talk about once a year and hopefully we come out to church and the pastor who never wears a suit coat wears a suit coat and have a nice dinner after in the afternoon, gather with family. Those are all nice things. But the resurrection of Jesus is the power of God. Do you believe in what he has done? And in turn, do you believe in what he will do? Do you know that he can make all things new in your life? Do you know he is going to make all things new one day? So I ask you today, that don't turn Easter into just a nice holiday. ask you today, if you've been a Christian for a long time, don't let Easter just be a cliche of a story that you've heard 100 times. But let the power of God reignite you once again today. A fire in your heart. Maybe if you're here and you've never given your life to Him, you never asked for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen, I'm telling you, the cross of Jesus is the greatest moment of human history because it changes the course of human history. The best day for us. And if you believe on Him and confess your sins to Him and give your life to Him, in other words, live for Him, discipleship, that's what that's about. It will be the best decision you have ever made. Because you'll find out life is not about attaining success. Life's not about making money. Life's not about trying to have the best relationship. But life is found in who He is, at the newness of life. That He will change you. And you begin to live a life with Him where this restored relationship with what salvation is all about with God. The one who made you, the one who created you, the one who knows best will show you what life is really intended to be. If you haven't done that, if you haven't given your life to Him, I encourage you today to do so. I'm gonna give you a moment to do that in just a moment. I believe this so much, I've staked my life on it. I've been talking to people about Jesus for 30 years now. I've given my life to the cause of the gospel because I believe in this so much. You can call me a fool. That's okay. I've been called worse. I cannot emphasize enough that you need Jesus to change you and to forgive you. I can't emphasize it enough. If it's the last thing you ever hear me say, you need Jesus. But see, while Jesus was teaching, he said this. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." He's not a taskmaster. He said, "Come to me and I will give you rest for your soul." Because he said, "My burden is easy and my yoke is light." And you know why he can say that? Because he took all of the burden to the cross and carried it himself. He took all the sins of the world, the past, of the present, and whatever's to come. He took it to the cross, and he bore that burden for each one of us. He says, "Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll take that burden of sin and the shame and the guilt. I'll take it off of you. And what I'll give you back is what is easy and what is light." In other words, when we follow him, he shows us new life and abundant life. Life as he intends it. God is not the angry taskmaster, but he's the God who loved you so much that he died on the cross for you in order to show you new life. So today, if you would stand up on your feet, today, there's no other way. There's no other answer. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't figure out with philosophy. You can't argue your way in. You can't have self-pity party enough. You believe on him. So if you're here today and you've never asked for the forgiveness of your sins, if you've never given your life to him, do so. What I'm going to do is, everybody close your eyes. We'll do kind of a traditional looking altar call here. And if you need Jesus to forgive you today, raise your hand. Let me see. Anybody in the house? Anybody else? I see two hands. Anybody else? You put them down. Anybody else before we go today? To know that God has forgiven you. To know that you're set right with him. To know there's nothing in between you and him. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? So here's what I want you to do right now, right where you're at, right where you're sitting. I'm not the mediator between you and God. This is between you two. You simply, right where you are, ask for the forgiveness of your sins. You say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Ask him. Right where you are in your heart, believe that he responded, he heard that, and it's already done. You are forgiven. From where you stand and everything in your past is gone, is taken care of. Cast as far as east is from the west, as the Bible says. But what you can tell him now is just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. That you came to this earth and you died on the cross for me. Tell him. I believe you raised from the dead. Let him know. Now, here's the thing. Listen to me. You don't walk out of here and continue to live as you did. You've been put right on the face of the road of discipleship, what it means to follow him. And he's going to help you. That's why the Holy Spirit has come. You need to pray for wisdom. You get yourself in church, we'll help you. Church isn't just to mark a spiritual box off your checklist to do, because your Christian church is here to equip you and help you. But each and every day you say, Lord, today I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to follow you. For in this I'll gain life. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those salvations. For hearts that are turning towards you, for those that didn't raise their hand but they confessed their sins, we thank you, Lord, for that. New life is breaking forth right here in this room. Thank you, Jesus. For Lord, you were wonderful and you were good and you were righteous. We will live our life for you. To the very last breath that we have, we will live our life for you, and you will make all things new. So Lord, as I pray as we go today, blessings on each person here. I pray they go with a heart brimming full of you. We live each day by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Word, growing in you, becoming strong to persevere. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for loving us and your patience with us. Thank you. And we do this all for your glory, in your name, in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Now, I saw those hands. I'm going to grab those that raised their hand before you go, all right? Better not be blessed as you go today. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Wednesday night, come on back. We're going to start a series, simply basic stuff, how to read the Bible. Wednesday night, next Sunday, come on back. We'll look forward to our time with you.
in my own house. Shame cycles like a daily medication. I try but I can't change my situation. Cause that liar comes to rob my joy. Yeah, I'm bruised but I'm not destroyed.
Sometimes I don't make it easy to love this heart of mine. I can get so distracted, caught up in doubt and fear, that every time I think you left me, you're still right here. Oh.
Oh, sins. Oh, my child, you're great. I know you're easy, but I'm in control. I don't need that much. You're going to show me. I'll make the mess in your faces.
Thank you. push a f*** on the phone. I've been a father of time and it's weather. For the code and they told me to count on my counted a lot. Treasure in heaven where it'll get maybe the second that's rapid as reverend. They protected, we tear down your hedges. I need your credit, you cannot check on my swinging. I'm Eddie from come to the message. I keep it Damian Lillard for three if they pass it to me. You think the vaccine is the mark of the beating it back to some reason. Remember, you have your allegiance. We agreement. Long as we kids at it. Capping the scheme and I'm happily beaming. You have to believe. I don't care. You keep pressing your Christmas and the price in the get through the division. Now give me some for the trolling. If I give them Paul, no longer the so I don't need a rose, but I might push a f*** on the truth. I've been a father of time and it's weather. I got for the drip and need line for the whip, but I've been a lot. Treasure in heaven where it'll get me. There's my allegiance, I'm reading Ephesians. Told me to beat it, that led me to Jesus. Keep it in season, look, you gotta see it though. He's got 10,000 people for pleasing, no part of this.
What may Time to focus when my mind is speaking. Maybe I don't need to know how it's gonna work.
trouble comes calling for me. Well, I live the way I believe. When I'm backed up against the wall, what kind of heart do I have in my chest? Be for my Savior and just for my flesh. What will I do in the moment that everything falls? We'll be right back.
chasing after things that don't lead me straight to you. I don't wanna lose my gaze when I meet you face to face. Where I'm gone, now I'm gonna know who. Like the prodigal.
You ain't drive me in that pit. Saw my phone inside the camera's seat. You never f***ing that car. The ball with the door when it's fast forward. Tuck it to a rock. Pop me here, go get it. Show blood, give me lemonade on the stove in it. I was chasing, chasing the Vicky. It's too exciting, make a piece and don't freeze me up. I'm satisfying, I'm praying, it's a different love. Don't like the hair, Harlan's take it. Go walk by the river and let you. Cause Lord, you are all I ever. All I ever want. Till you find me. All around me. Never do.
Is not Wait, hold up. ACA, that's the law, no sheriff in it. Testing for nobody do it like this. Put it like, bro, that's a little like. I feel like to be home.
we gotta act nice to get that hustle. Why they expect us out that much? The sun still gonna be shining down on us. If you ever felt left out, heard it, I promise that's a lie straight from the enemy. Coming for your mind, body, soul, and energy. But you will never be deceived, cause you are loved, you are chosen. Your body isn't broken. For every door he closes, a better one gets open. You got a light inside to radiate the high. If you don't think so, let me change your mind. Wherever you go, wherever you stay, don't you forget the love is always coming your way. Oh,
never seen.